today as we come to the table.
Nobody gets away with anything. They're not getting away with anything. They will stand before the Lord one day, and God judges each person for what they've done. Now, obviously, God wants everyone to repent and be forgiven before that day. But you need to realize that when you release them and let that go, God's still going to deal with it. Now that person's got to deal with God. And anything that we can hold against them facing God is way worse, because God knows every detail, and God is the one that's going to be passing judgment. Now, that may help you mentally to be able to have a reason to let this go, right? No one's getting away with anything. You're just releasing it. And what you're doing is you're turning it over to God and saying, God, I want you to deal with this.
When we work through bitterness and unforgiveness towards someone and release it to God, we can begin to heal. Whatever happened to you, you can recover from it. Your heart may not mend instantaneously, but with time and a lot of Jesus, there's hope and healing in your future. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will recognize that forgiveness isn't easy. Handing over that personal and painful memory, including that unforgiveness, takes some time and processing in your heart. But I can tell you that it will be worth it. The full healing, unexplainable peace, and gentle love from Jesus on the other side is absolutely worth it. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
God chooses who he's going to put where and how he's going to do it, and then offering money again. This even is where the term simony comes from. Maybe you've heard that name. That's where you're trying to buy the power of God or position in the church, if you will, by money. And so Simon's the one who coined his name, basically coined the phrase. And so he says, he offered them money. I'm going to buy my way into getting this kind of power, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Again, the whole motive and the whole heart was wrong here. Peter's going to recognize that. Now, it's interesting. The one that really knows him is Philip. Philip's been working with Simon, so I don't know how much Peter knew, but now we're going to see one of the gifts of the Spirit working through Peter, and that is a word of knowledge where God reveals to Peter, hey, this is what's going on in Simon's heart. You need to address it. And Peter, of course, is going to address it very firmly and straightforward, which Peter was known to do. And look at verse 20, what Peter said to him. Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. God isn't motivated by money. God doesn't move on financial things. God moves on hearts, and God moves the way he wants to move. And so a lot of warnings here, you know, not to try to use money as an influence in the kingdom of God and not try to buy our way into something or whatever the case might be. He says, no, God doesn't do this. As a matter of fact, it will exclude us from the work of God. It may look like it's being used in the realm of man, but in God's eyes, it's absolutely unacceptable. And so he said, your money perish with you. Now, that would get something you don't want to hear. What do you mean, my money perish with me? So I'm going to perish? This is pretty heavy. He's pronouncing a judgment against Simon because of this. And no, notice verse 21. He says, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And that was his problem. I believe that was the problem back when he prayed with Philip and was baptized. Even with Philip, he didn't really mean it in his heart. We talked about that. He meant it in his head. It was a religious exercise, but he didn't mean it in his heart. That's why when we do baptisms, we always ask, hey, let me hear when you gave your life to the Lord. I want to hear the heart. We're going to see with the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip again is going to baptize the Ethiopian eunuch, he says to him, so do you believe with all your heart? And probably because of what happened with Simon, he saw that Simon believed with all of his head, And so now you want to find out, you know, with the Ethiopian eunuch, do you believe with all of your heart? So he'd make sure that it was a true conversion and not a false conversion. But his problem was it was a heart condition. There was something going wrong in his heart. And this is where, again, God is going to reveal to him what he needs to do and even reveal what's going on in his heart. And notice this, if our heart is wrong before God, here's the prescription, repent therefore. Repent. That's what God calls us to do. What does repentance mean? Turn away from it. We turn away. You know, well, I've tried. I can't turn away. No, you just obey God and turn away. And then you say, no, God, give me the power to turn away. Because I don't have the power to turn away. But I'm going to obey you and choose to do what's necessary to cut that off or to do whatever the case might be. And then, God, I'm going to trust in you to do the rest. Look, we just have to be obedient to do what God's asked us to do. And don't worry about where the power is going to come from. God gives the power. And that's what the indwelling is all about, the work of the Spirit. That third work of the Spirit is to give us power to be able to do what God's asked us to do. You know, the Lord said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to make it to where you can't do this. If I'm going to ask you to do it, I'm going to give you the power to do it, and I'm going to be faithful to do that. But you've got to repent. That is, you've got to find out what is it in your life that's allowing this to go on, and then turn from it. And you know, it's amazing. On a regular basis, you know, people will say, well, I was struggling in this area, and God showed me this. I had an open door right here, and I closed that door off, and now I'm free. Listen, there may be things you're struggling in your life right now, and you really don't want to do them. You really want to be free. I think there's two kinds of believers, or two kinds of people, I would say. There are those who want to be free and those who don't want to be free. And both can oftentimes be trapped. Both. Why is it that the ones who want to be free are trapped and the ones who don't really care, they're trapped? They don't care, so that's why they're trapped. Why is it those who want to be free are oftentimes trapped? I believe oftentimes because they haven't said, Lord, give me your power. Fill me with your Spirit, come upon me and set me free, and then taken the action to be able to be free of that. And what is the action? Well, what is the avenue coming into your life that keeps that sin alive? If there's something you're involved in right now and you know that it's grieving God's Spirit, you know it's grieving your spirit. You wish you weren't doing it, but you're trapped. Okay, we've probably, all of us have been there at some point or another in our life. And if you're in that place where you're saying, I'm trapped, tell the Lord that. He knows that you're trapped, and say, what is the avenue? Now, for some of you, it's going to be a very obvious avenue. You're going to see the door that's open. There's going to be no question, right? I mean, that's pretty clear. If you're struggling in certain areas sexually, you probably have some kind of sexual door that's open. Close that door. But sometimes it's not so obvious. Sometimes there's things that we're doing that we don't realize we've left a door open. And we just say, God, what door have I left something open that's allowing this to happen in my life? God will show you. God will close the door, and then God will set you free. But this is a process that we go through. It's a process of being free and walking with God and allowing God to do it. And so he says, you've got to repent this of your wickedness. Notice that. And pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So a heavy message from Peter to Simon. And notice what he says. Here's where the word of wisdom comes in that Peter's using, because Peter couldn't have known this. But look what he says. For I see, that is in the spirit, because he couldn't have known this, that you are poisoned by bitterness and you're bound by iniquity. You know, again, no way Peter could have known that, but God showed him. He said, number one, first of all, you're poisoned by bitterness. Guys, bitterness will poison your soul. It absolutely will. All of us probably all of us have struggled at some point or another with bitterness. Maybe before the Lord in a greater way, maybe even after the Lord. But here's the bottom line. If you don't deal with bitterness and let bitterness go, it's going to poison you. And not only, the Bible says it not only defiles you, it defiles everybody around you. The Bible says that a root of bitterness springs up and defiles many. And you may know people like that, that because of their bitterness, they're defiling those around them and they're defiling themselves. Now, let me say this. Some of you have been terribly wronged. Some of you possibly raped as a child. I spoke with someone recently that repeatedly raped as a child growing up. How do you forgive that? What level of bitterness happens in the heart of a child? First of all, they're not even old enough to understand what's going on. They just know it's wrong. And then they get older and they realize that it's wrong. And then they try to be free. And you think of, again, I've never been there. I don't know that heart. I know the bitterness I've dealt with, nothing to that degree. But I do know what the Bible says, and that is this. God wants you to be free, which means God's going to give you the power to be free, no matter what level of abuse that you've been through. Now, let me tell you a couple of things that may help you. Number one, understand this. Because you tell the Lord, I want to forgive them. And by the way, what we do is we choose to forgive, and then God's got to give us the power. This doesn't happen overnight. You choose to obey and to let it go, and then God gives the power. But I think a lot of times those who have been greatly wronged are reluctant is it's almost like you're letting the person off the hook. Like somehow they got away with it. I want you to know something. Those of you that are suffering with bitterness in ways that you were truly done wrong, nobody gets away with anything. They're not getting away with anything. They will stand before the Lord one day, and God judges each person for what they've done. Now, obviously, God wants everyone to repent and be forgiven before that day. But you need to realize that when you release them and let that go, God's still going to deal with it. Now that person's got to deal with God. And anything that we can hold against them facing God is way worse because God knows every detail and God is the one that's going to be passing judgment. Now, that may help you mentally to be able to have a reason to let this go, right? No one's getting away with anything. You're just releasing it. And what you're doing is you're turning it over to God and saying, God, I want you to deal with this. All right, that's the mental part of it. How do I do that? Okay, it's a process. It's a process. The first thing you need to do is learn to release it. You know, it's almost like a boat that's been tied to the dock and the tides are trying to pull it, but it stays tied. Take out the machete, cut the rope, and let that boat float. Just let it go. Let it go. Turn it over to the Lord and release it. Now, I'll tell you what will happen. You're going to wake up the next morning and find somebody tied that boat again, right back up to your dock. And you're going to go to that dock day after day, and that boat's going to be retied. But every time it's cut and retied, the rope gets a little bit shorter. Till finally it can't be tied any longer. And the tide takes it away. That's the work of the Spirit. So here's what you do practically. Lord, I'm turning this over to you. I don't have the power to forgive them. But you've told me I'm going to be poisoned by bitterness if I don't deal with this. So I'm turning this over to you. Now I'm going to need your help because I can't let go of it. The Lord's going to know that. He has compassion with a sincere heart. And you say, so God, help me let go. Help me let go. Every day you pray, God, help me let go. Let that boat drift away. God, give me the power. I'm choosing to do the right thing mentally. Now you make it happen in reality. And I'm telling you, I don't know how long it's going to be, but you keep doing that and that boat's going to float away and be gone. It doesn't mean you weren't wronged. It just means that no longer is it holding you captive. No longer are you bitter. And now God can take you on to better things and use you in a greater way in the kingdom of God. Because he's removed that poison. And that's got to be removed before you can be used in greater ways. God will be faithful to do that. He just is. Now that was the first thing here that, again, he was bound by was this bitterness. And that was holding him back from truly giving his heart and life to the Lord. But look at the second thing. He was bound by iniquity. It means tied up, bound by iniquity. That's bound by sin. Now was it because of his bitterness? We don't know. But here's a situation where we talked about those who want to sin and they're not free. And those who don't want to sin and they're not free. He was one of those who, again, was bound. Maybe he wanted to be free. We don't know. We know he was wanting glory. So that had to be dealt with first. But the fact that he was bound up, you know, he couldn't set himself free. So he needed to let God set him free. So that was, again, this whole picture of the bitterness, but God's got to be the one that releases. And so turn it over to God. You repent. You turn it over to God, Simon, and then God will give you the power to deal with it after that. Otherwise, you're not going to be free of this. And in his particular case, he would perish because I believe he was not a true believer. Again, if you're a true believer, then it doesn't apply to you that you will perish if you don't let go of this bitterness. What it means for you is you're going to have a hard and bitter life and not be able to be used by the Lord very much, although you'll be in the kingdom of God. Listen, the Lord wants you to come in dancing. He wants you to come in singing. He wants to take your mourning and replace it with joy. And you say, how is this possible? By the power of God. And it's not possible any other way. But God has the power of the universe, and he can do that for you, even as he wanted to do it here for Simon. But notice what happens. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Obviously, he's got a rightful fear here. There's nothing wrong that he asked for Peter to pray for him. I think that's a good thing. But note this. What is he doing asking Peter to pray? Look, it's great to ask the pastor to pray. Don't get me wrong. But if it only stops there, that shows you the problem in Simon's heart. What Simon should have said is, what do I do? What do I pray? How do I get this right with God? I would have said to Simon, I'm sure that Peter dealt with him in whatever way, look, I'll pray for you, but you need to pray. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to deal with this and get this right. And so again, part of, I think, Simon's problem was is the fact that he wanted the glory. He didn't want all the consequences, but he didn't want to make the full commitment to avoid the consequences. And there's people like that today. You know, nobody wants to go to hell. Even people that say they don't believe in it, I think in the back of their mind, they've got this fear that maybe there is going to be some type of judgment they're going to face one day. Nobody wants to do that, but they don't desire to be away from it enough to actually do what needs to be done, and that is to repent, to come to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. and to turn their life over to Him. And this is where I'm still afraid at this point Simon was, and we'll find out whether or not he's in heaven when we get there. I hope that he fully repented. But notice it says, so when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many of the villages of the Samaritans. I love seeing the heart change of the disciples. It wasn't just they didn't just zip back home. Notice what they did. They went to other villages there in Samaria and preached the gospel. There was a great outpouring of the Spirit in Samaria. There was a Jesus revolution going on. There was a Jesus movement in Samaria, and they wanted to be a part of it. So they're just going around preaching the gospel, and God has changed their heart and received them. And so then they head on back home after that. And so again, God working in the hearts of believers and working in our hearts to change us so He can use us in greater ways, and that's what's happening here. So just a beautiful picture of the gospel and everything that the power of the gospel and what God does in the heart of a believer that allows him to do it. Now, we're going to be shifting into a whole new direction where we're going to see Philip now going to this Ethiopian eunuch. And we're not going to jump into it because I don't want to get started. I'm going to share a little bit about the Ethiopians before we finish here and some interesting things. Then we're going to go into more detail next week because there just isn't time to go as far as I wanted to in it today. But it's interesting to see that he's going to go to this Ethiopian eunuch. There's so much going on there. God calling Philip out of there when there was a great move of the Spirit, calling him to the desert. There's all kinds of stuff. But just look at the issue of the Ethiopian eunuch. Why in the world would an Ethiopian eunuch, he came to Jerusalem to worship and now he's on his way back. Why would an Ethiopian come to Jerusalem to worship? You have to understand, in that day, there were many gods in Ethiopia, in Africa, in the Middle East, all over the world. There was only one monotheistic God, and that is the God of Israel. How did this man living in Ethiopia, not connected to the Jews, not connected to the Spirit of God working there, how did he have a desire for God and go to seek out God? Now, obviously, we know the Spirit can draw anyone and does draw anyone, but there's more going on to the story here. You see, the Bible tells us that when Solomon was ruling and reigning, the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba is from that region of Ethiopia, Sudan, there in the continent there of Africa, if you will. And so she came to see Solomon and said she was blown away by just the glory of his kingdom, the wisdom that he has. Think about it. He was the wisest man that's ever lived besides Jesus Christ, the Bible says. He had unlimited resources. What do you think it looked like in that day? Think about that for just a minute. Some of the places you see today were people that have wisdom and money. Again, to think they're nothing compared to what Solomon had. And so she sees it and she's just blown away by it. And she, no doubt asking questions about the God of Israel, learning about the God of Israel, Solomon telling all the things and sharing his faith as well as everything else. And the Bible says, of course, they exchanged gifts and she went back down to Ethiopia. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but secular history tells us that they had a physical relationship and she, on the way back after she got there, found out she was pregnant. Now, we can't prove that by the Bible, but I think there's a lot of things in just history that proves that is indeed what took place. And what do I mean by that? Well, we now know historically that after the Queen of Sheba went back, there's a certain group of people there in the Ethiopia-Sudan region who claimed to be descendants of the Jews back through Solomon. And they literally, from that time, have kept the feast even to today. Keep the Jewish feast, keep the Judaism and everything the way it's supposed to be as they are. As a matter of fact, we'll talk a little bit more about how the nation of Israel, apart from the government's agreement, smuggled many of them out and brought them to Israel because once they proved they were of Jewish lineage, then they had a right to move back to the land. And of course, God is moving the Jews back in the last day. They wanted to bring the Jews back. And so you go to Israel today on a tour, for example, and you see all these Ethiopian and Sudanese Jews, and you're like, you just notice it. This is not like how this happened, right? And then you understand the history of what happened about the fact of Queen of Sheba and all that. And now you see that it goes back to roots that I believe indeed are. And by the way, they've done DNA testing on them and they are indeed Jews. So they're Ethiopian and Sudanese Jews. That's why I believe indeed the secular history of what happened with the Queen of Sheba is accurate. And of course, with Solomon, we can believe it. But the bottom line is that now you have all these Ethiopian and Sudanese Jews that are there in the land. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, this is kind of interesting. Who are these people, these people group? Because I know to get into Israel, it's hard. To become a citizen and move there, they have very stringent restrictions. And they very obviously, you know, didn't look like the rest of the Jewish population. They're from Ethiopia and Sudan. And then they began to share with me. And then I began to realize what had happened historically and see how this all came about. Again, some neat stories we'll get into as to how they got them there. But again, neat seeing God do this work here. This Ethiopian unit is going to be used to spread the gospel to those where the seeds were planted many years ago by Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. She had a child and all that went on with that. And we'll see that again, that's no doubt how this Ethiopian and all those people in that region heard it. He's coming back to worship the Lord and we'll see he gives his life to the Lord. But just to wrap this up today, guys, look, here's the bottom line. There's power in the gospel. And if you have heard the gospel over and over and over, and you thought, well, you didn't respond to it, look, maybe the cracks in that stony heart were not yet all connected enough from the work of the ministry to bring you to that place. But God is that final swing of the mallet. The heart is now broken and ready to receive. You do believe that Jesus died for your sins, you, that his blood was spilled for you, not just the world, but for you on a personal level, and you're ready to confess your sin and receive him. It's very easy. Lord, forgive me. I believe, receive, and again, from your heart, not just your head like Simon here, you know, messed up. Let it be from your heart. The Bible says you'll be born again and you'll be a member of the family of God. But also for the empowering of the Spirit. For believers, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18 to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, you won't find that in the English, but it's in the original. To be continually filled with the Spirit. What that tells us is we need to be asking God on a regular basis, fill me again, fill me again. I ask God every day to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I ask God between services to fill me with the Holy Spirit. So I probably bug him to death. But either way, it doesn't bug him. Ask him. And then for those of you who say, you know, I know I'm saved. I know I've given my life to the Lord and all this. But the indwelling, the withdwelling, it's very obviously there. But I don't know that I have the indwelling. I don't know that I see the power of God in my life. I want to pray and give you an opportunity to do that as well. Now remember, you need to be willing to say, Lord, whatever's grieving your spirit, I'm going to lay aside. Only you know what that is in your heart. Turn to the Lord. As Peter said, repent therefore. And then after that, say, okay, Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to receive. And by the way, I remember, you know, hearing things like, well, you know, if you open yourself up to receive everything, the Lord, whatever, just to receive whatever, then a demon might come. The boogeyman may get you, right? Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if you, being evil, now they weren't living evil, he's talking about their sin nature. He's comparing their sin nature to God's pure nature. He said, if you, being evil, having a sin nature, with a sin nature, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now remember, you don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit to be saved, do you? It's not something you ask for. You're just saved, right? You do need to receive the Lord, don't get me wrong. But you don't ask for the Holy Spirit. That just happens automatically. So the Lord was saying the same thing they're saying here, and that is, it's something that you ask for. It's something in addition to just automatic salvation. He said, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? So, ask, Lord, come upon me and receive. That's your part. Be open to it. As I said, Lord, whatever you have, I'm ready for it. And Jesus said this. He said, if you ask for, you know, a fish, God's not going to give you a serpent. That in the same passage. So he's making a point. If you open yourself up to everything that I have for you in spirit, I'm not going to let a demon come in and deceive you. Rest. I have all power and authority. I will only let happen what I see as holy and is good for you. If you receive it, I'll give it as a gift, and you'll have power. Let's pray for that. Father, I do want to pray if there's anybody here who, for the first time, you've opened their eyes to know you, there's the power of the gospel. They realize they need to repent of their sin and receive you. They believe that your blood took their sin away on the cross. God, right now, as they pray in their heart to ask forgiveness and to believe in you, God, I pray now that you would overwhelm them with your joy. As they repent and turn to you, and know, Lord, your sacrifice took their sin away, they'll be born again. And so, God, fill them with that joy. And, Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit as they do that right now. If that's you, I encourage you to do that. Just open yourself up, receive the Lord, and allow him to indwell you.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts, a powerful account of how the early church was established and spread throughout the world. Acts shows us the bold faith of the apostles, the power of the Holy Spirit at work, and the unstoppable growth of God's kingdom despite opposition. Just as the early believers relied on God's strength to proclaim the gospel, we too are called to live boldly for Christ in our daily lives. Their stories remind us that no obstacle or difficulty is too great to overcome when God is leading the way. Trust that God is for you and with you as you journey in your faith. If you have any questions or prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you and pray with you. You can give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. Come to the Table is a media ministry based out of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to visit Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Feel free to check our website for service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, we trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching in Acts. Please make a point to join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach biblical truths and practical applications on living out the Christian faith from this inspiring book, right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.